Good morning and good evening, church. I apologize that I can't be there in person with you since this message is used for both morning and evening service congregations. I want to make sure that I greet all of you properly. Now, and before we actually jump into today's message, I want to thank you for all of your faithful prayer, your love and support during my recovery. Your care has not just been a tremendous source of strength for me, but it has been a testimony to many other people in the hospital saying that we are such a great church community. Now, anyway, regardless of which service that you are in, I want to want us to think about a specific question as we begin. When you hear the phrase, the Lord who provides, what is the very first image that comes into your mind? For many people, we might immediately think about the tangible, the everyday blessing, the house that we live in, the warm food on our family table, and the car that we drive, or the education that and careers that we have. And we have to be honest, it is a very natural for us to measure God's provision by our level of comfort, isn't it? And yes, those things are absolutely part of God's provision. But what happens when God's provision looks completely different from what we expect? What happens when it looks like a barren desert or a dwindling jar of flour? Like what we have read from today's scripture from 1 Kings 17, chapter 17. To understand this amazing story better, we need to understand the background of 1 Kings 17. The nation of Israel is suffering under the devastating drought because King Ahab had led the people into Baal worship. And ironically, Baal was supposed to be the god of rain, storm, and fertility. And instead that we see the true God have completely shut off the rain, but what we know is that this wasn't an event to make his people suffer, but it was an event to turn God's people's eye back to him. Now, why don't you remind the person next to you, turn your eyes to our Lord Jesus, God, our God. And now, we probably want to ask the question, shouldn't God's faithful people, Elijah, or those who follow God, be exempt from suffering? But we see that the drought hits Elijah too. God sends him to hide by the brook Cherith, where he miraculously provides bread and meat through the ravens. But when the brook dries up, in verse 8 that we read that God sent Elijah to a widow in Zarephath who has almost nothing left. And though this story, we see God not only provides for Elijah and the widow, widow's daily needs, but ultimately bringing her son back to life. The Lord who provides is not only the God who provide that what we need today, but the God who sustains and gives life. So what we learn from this passage about the Lord who provides. Firstly, God provides what we need. Second, God provides as we trust and obey. And third, God provides beyond our immediate needs. So firstly, God provides what we need. We believe that the first thing that we need is to recognize that God knew exactly what Elijah needed, even before Elijah knew what was coming next. When the brook dried up, Elijah probably had no idea where his next meal or drink was going to come from. And then God sent him to the widow, who from all appearance probably had even less than he did. But God knew where Elijah needed to go, who he would meet, and what that widow and her son needed. Now, this is sometimes hard for us to remember because we naturally fixate on what is right in front of us. Living in Melbourne, we have our own modern version of dried up brook and an almost empty jar, isn't it? From many conversations that I had with people, we look at the rising bank interest, climbing or falling house prices, inflation, and stressful economy. We look at those immediate physical circumstances, our own dried up brooks, and we think, how is God going to provide from this? But don't forget that God is the God who makes a way in the wilderness and river in the desert. Amen? God sees what we cannot see. The provision of God was already in motion before Elijah ever arrived at Zarephath. And the same is true for you and me. Sometimes his provision looks like a raven bringing bread and meat. Sometimes it looks like a widow with a handful of flour and a little oil. And sometimes, honestly, we don't recognize his provision until we look back and realize God was providing all along. Well, why don't you remind the person next to you, God has provided all along and always will be. Second, God provides through faith and obedience. And this brings us to the point that in the middle of this widow's despair, that Elijah says something that must have sounded absolutely crazy. In verse 13, he says, "Fear not, go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little baked cake from it and bring it to me. And afterward, make yourself and your sons." Honestly, that sounds incredibly selfish, doesn't it? How could a man of God ask a starving mother to give him her child's last meal? But Elijah is not trying to take from her. He's actually inviting her to trust God, that he is inviting her into God's abundant blessing. And then comes the promise in verse 14, "The jar of meal shall not be spent, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And notice the order here. She has to trust and promise before she sees the provision. The widow had to bake the bread and give it away before she saw the miracle in a jar. And I think this is where it gets really personal and challenging for us today. In what we see today, from an international level or personal level, the value of the world seems to be inward. It is all about how much that you can hold on, how much that we can cling on. But this is not faith. Hang on to what we have is not faith in God. In fact, it's actually putting our faith in the things that we can hold on to. But true faith is surrender. Say to the person next to you, true faith is surrender. Surrendering the very little that we have left in our hands. Our time, our energy, or our finances, even our control. And trusting that God with it. Trusting God that he can make the ultimate and best use of everything that we have. The pattern of faith and obedience also accounts in the New Testament, where Simon said to Jesus, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And as we can see from the story, it was an abundant blessing of the fishes that he caught. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, resonate that too as well, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And we see the widow trusted God first, even in a situation that she doesn't understand. And then we see what happened onward. That her household and Elijah ate for many days, and their jar of flour was not spent, and the oil did not fail. God provided day by day. And sometimes, isn't that exactly how God works with us? We often want him to give us enough for the next 10 years, but sometimes he gives us enough for today and teaches us to trust him again tomorrow. Thirdly, God provides beyond our immediate needs. Now, if we stop the story at the endless of flour and oil, I think we miss something much bigger. Because the flour and oil were never the ultimate point about God's provision. They were enough to keep them alive from another day. But eventually something happened that the food cannot fix. Verse 17 that we read, that the widow's son became seriously ill, and eventually there was no a breath left in him. Can you imagine that shock? Just when you think everything is going to be right away. You have trusted God. You have done what God asked you to do. And you have seen God provide day by day, day after day. And now, her son is dead. A life has fallen. Suddenly, a full jar of flour means nothing anymore. And I think this is where the story really challenges us, because so often we focus on what we can see from day to day. We see our bank accounts, our houses, our job, the economy, our family situation, our health, and so on. And we think, this is what matters. This is what I need to fix. And of course, these things are matters and they're important, but God cares and God cares about these things. But when we come face to face to death, we realize that our material needs, as important as they are not our deepest needs anymore. Do you agree? And I have to say, I have had such a great experience over the last couple months, especially, you know, being involved in an accident. Now, when the accident happened, the first thing came to my mind, it wasn't about what am I going to have for tonight's dinner, but it was how am I going to continue to share my life story with others if I end up there? Just like the widow, whose greatest need was no longer the flour or the oil, but it was life that it matters. It was life that it matters. Friends, it is life that matters. Once I had a conversation with someone, and this person was trying to convince me that life is nothing without all these other things, which I agree, but again, without life, all these things is nothing. Anyway, we see the story that takes to the climax where Elijah takes the boy and cries out to God, and in verse 22 that we see something amazing have happened. We read together, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. God did not just provide food to sustain their life, but God provided life itself. And I believe that this is where the story points us beyond 1 Kings chapter 17. As we see centuries later, God gave his only son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus taught us in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is not simply someone who gives us what we need, but Jesus himself is what we ultimately need. And so, church, this changes the way that we look at our lives. We are so easily focused on what we can see from day to day, because this is how we have been taught and trained since the day that we arrived in this world. But what we see today is not the whole story. Our life in Christ is the real full story. So yes, God cares about our daily needs. He cares about our family, our finances, our work, and our struggles. But the greatest provision God has given to us is not a comfortable life or a full bank account. His greatest provision is Jesus Christ himself, the forgiveness of our sins, and the hope of eternal life through his resurrection. And so the challenge for us today is not just to ask, God, what are you going to provide me for me today? But to say, God, I can trust you with my life. Because faith is not just trusting God for the things that we can see. Faith is trusting God with the things we cannot see. Corrie ten Boom has a beautiful quote, tells us what we really need is our life. She said, you may never know what Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. So church, to finish off today, I want us to remember three things. Firstly, God provides what we need. Secondly, God provides as we trust and obey. And thirdly, God provides beyond what we can see. The widow looked at what was left in the jar and thought, this is what all I have. But God saw beyond that jar. Let's not look at what's left in our jar and think, this is all I have. But church, I want to encourage you today, look beyond your own jar. Look at the beauty of the life that Jesus is preparing for you and the work that he is going to do through you. May we be people who find our deepest security not in what God places in our hand, but in the God who holds our life in his hands. Because the Lord who provides is not only the God who provides what we need today. He is the God who sustains us. He is the God who gives us life. And ultimately, he gives us himself. Amen.